C1OB. Number 4A.
We come to the fifth subject of life, and we know that the greatest objection really that everyone has to meet at the point of life is that actually he has to lay down the whole material, mortal sense of life. So that only when one is able to do that, one really gives free way to life to be demonstrated fully. And this is a very important point, because we all like to hang on to a material sense of life, perhaps still feeling, well, that's life, and that's a motion of life, the material sense of life, and this is naturally not so. And this is what Mrs. Eddy takes up here in that fifth subject. I have tried to epitomize it like this, that a lack of understanding that materialism must be given up. For what? For the love of spiritual life. Impedes our demonstration of the reality of life. You know that this is a tone of life, namely the love for the spiritual. You know that love is a small L, is in the third degree, in the scientific translation of mortal mind, in the third degree, the fifth term, symbolizing really life, the laying down of the mortal, to have enough love to be willing to give up one's mortal sense of life for the spiritual sense of life. And if we don't do that, then we impede really demonstration. Now, Mrs. Eddy wants to bring out this concept of hanging on to material life. And interesting enough, she calls this material sense of life a ghost. And it's all about ghosts. She uses the term ghost and ghostly alone in these few pages 11 times, and in all the other chapters in the whole textbook only 4 times. So you see that here she concentrates really the subject of ghost, and wants to show that we all believe in ghosts. It is not so that some funny Scottish men or English men believe in ghosts running around the castle, but that we all have a ghostly sense of life. How does she explain that? And so I first give a general view before we go through the 7 subtones. She says that the belief that the material body is a spirit is really a ghost. And we know the ghosts that we see in Disneyland, or that some see at home in the castles. They all seem to be intangible, spiritual, in quotation marks, and yet they have a form, a material form. You can recognize if it's a man ghost or a woman ghost, and so that you have that interesting combination of something that is not material to seem to be material, and something that is not spirit to seem to be a spirit, and that both together form a ghost. The spirit and the form bring out a ghostly sense. And then the belief is that this ghost is real. Well, who among us does not believe that? Who among us does not believe that really the material body has a spirit dwelling in the body? I think practically everybody somehow believes this, consciously or unconsciously, that the that the body is not dead as a dodo, that there is a spirit moving in him. And that spirit cannot be seen, but it's there. And so we feel that if we look at the material body, at the person, we feel really this is a material body with a spirit, a mixture of a material body and spirit. And we can't get away from that very easily. We, most of us, believe that unconsciously. Only when we sit back and say, now, what does Christian Science teach us? Oh, yes, Christian Science teaches us that the body is not real and that there are no spirits, that there is only one spirit. All right, then we can somehow set ourselves a bit straight. But fundamentally, unconsciously, we believe in ghosts. We believe that there is a spirit captured in a material body, in a material form. And so if I look into the class, I just see a lot of ghosts, and you see up here another ghost. Huh? Yes. Think of it, if I would sit here as a material body and no spirit in it, you would say, he's dead. He's dead. Yeah? Would I be dead? No, you know that. Huh? Can you see, we have an innate, traditional, universal belief that a body plus a spirit together constitutes man. And that they go together very easily, they play together, the spirit and the body, and the body makes the spirit makes the body move, and the body makes the spirit depressed, and so they play together a little bit, always, and that's what we believe. That's the ghostly and the ghastly thing. So she says, therefore, that ghost of materiality has to be laid off, has to be laid down. And the true idea of being is spiritual and immortal. So these are the antithesis, so to say, the ghost of materiality on one side and the idea of spiritual being on the other side. Being life without a material form, being just being spirit and nothing else but spirit, is really the truth about the situation, and anything else is a ghostly farce. So we better are honest to ourselves and see that we believe in ghosts that live on this plane and on the other plane of mortal existence. And so we believe, like Thomas believed, that the material body is a spirit, is a ghost. When Jesus reappeared to Thomas, he said, this is a ghost, this is a spirit. And Jesus had to rectify that and said, no, 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 a spirit doesn't have a body, doesn't have flesh and bones. I'm not the ghost, I'm not the spirit. I have flesh and ghost. What is necessary is that you really receive the Holy Spirit. That's something else. So, this says here, and that our present age has not yet overcome the belief in ghosts. And again, we must remember, if she says there that we don't have to think about just a few funny people who have seen a ghost wandering around at night, and a poltergeist coming up at midnight and opening the doors and rattling with chains and rattling with the door and going up the stairs and poltering around. This is what many people experience, and they call it the ghost, but we have to do with all kinds of ghosts. By the millions, we see them coming down the road in the car and going up the elevator in the hotel and so on, and gathering together in a restaurant. They are all ghosts. They are all ghosts. It's a belief that spirit can be captured in a material form. But that's a ghost. Yeah. So she says that the ghost of materiality has to give up. What is the answer to these objections? She says, well, to Jesus, spirituality was the reality of man's existence. That spiritual reality was for him life, and not the bodily form. So that ghosts for him are not reality. They are, what are they? Traditional beliefs, erroneous and man-made. They are traditional beliefs. Both the ghosts that walk along on this earth and the ghosts that come at midnight, they are all traditional beliefs. They do not exist as realities. They exist in the mental realm. Just as people walking around are only existing on a material, mental realm, so the ghosts at midnight are only forms in the mental realm. There are no realities of being. So she demands to give up the spectral at all points. She says we must not continue to admit the somethingness of superstition. You know what she says? It is a superstition to believe that we are living bodies, that we are ghosts. That's a superstition. See, if the science explains that there is only one spirit and that spirit is indivisible, cannot be divided up in spirits, then if we believe that we have about 4 billion spirits walking around on this earth, then we really believe in ghosts and in spirits. And so we continue to admit in something that is superstitious. We must yield up all beliefs in superstition, forgetting those things which are behind, and to lay off the ghost, namely to lay off mortal belief. So that one thing is real, the true idea of being purely spiritual. Well, you know, that's a big thing to swallow and to stomach. Are we actually out to demonstrate that our life is spiritual and only spiritual? Or are we depressed when we can't demonstrate that life is material and in the body? Don't we look out in a healing or in our whole life that life is preserved in the body? That the body is not separated from life? We actually do. Therefore, we can see that a healing is actually not getting rid of the ghost. And we see that when we take the chapter on Christian Science practice, that she shows that the healing is nothing else but to bring mortal mind back to its normal status. Whereas if we would really demonstrate spirituality and the one spirit, the patient would have to disappear. It would have to lose its material body and has to disappear. That is the point where the ghost goes west then. Huh? West is science, you see. So, yes. So, it's a big thing to analyze our consciousness, to analyze our motives, to analyze our inward aims. Are they not directed towards life in body and better life in body? If so, all we ask for is a better ghost, a more comfortable ghost. Whereas here she says, the great point is that actually we should begin to demonstrate, at least first in our heart and in our desire and as our aim, to demonstrate that really life is in and of spirit. and never in and off map. Then we would crack that big problem of ghosts. Let's see how Mrs. Eddy develops the subject through the seven tones. First, as mind, we have the epitome regarding the mortal body as spirit springs from mortal belief. So we shall see right away that mortal body as spirit, the ghost, is a belief. It is not something that exists in reality. So she says, Jesus did not consider his material body to be spirit. To him, the body was a mortal material belief. And to him, not materiality but spirituality was the reality of man's existence, of true life. Whereas to them, spirituality was the intangible, the uncertain, the unreal. So she compares Jesus' standpoint with the Jews' standpoint and showed, for the Jews, the material was the real. For Jesus, the material was a belief. You start out with mind and see that those ghosts are actually beliefs. As spirit, Mrs. Eddy then shows that ghosts are not realities, that they are traditional, erroneous, and man-made beliefs, but not realities. So we know in spirit, spirit is the only reality, so that ghosts cannot be a reality because they are mortal bodies with a spirit. She goes on to soul, and develops that sense further, showing that ghosts vanish into nothingness because they are not unchangeable identities. They are not unchangeable entities. A ghost is not something, and if it has not an identity, not an entity, then it is changeable. It can vanish. So we need not to believe in ghosts, she says, because there are no such things. If the belief in their reality is destroyed, then the terror of ghosts will depart and health will be restored. So here we have a sense that ghosts can change and vanish and disappear. If ghosts were real identities of beings, if life in matter would be something true, something that exists in being, then it would have an identity and then it could not disappear, because an identity of being can never disappear and vanish. It is unchanging. But ghosts really can disappear. As principle, she shows here, the testimony of the material senses yields to scientific reality. She brings in now the scientific testimony. You see, the moment she comes to principle and to science, it's a scientific testimony, no more the testimony of the material senses, because ghosts can only be seen through the material senses. They see it, they see a ghost. They hear a ghost, sometimes they feel the ghost, usually they are cold when they walk through the room, and you can feel the coldness, a cold wind going through it. Apparently they don't come from hell or they would be warm. So it is interesting to see that the ghost really can be testified through the five corporeal senses. I don't know how it is in this country, but naturally in Europe, you know, you meet a lot of people who have seen and heard ghosts. They don't tell you that very quickly, because they are afraid of being called ridiculous. and so they hold back. But the moment they feel that you don't take them ridiculous, the moment you feel that we believe in ghosts too, in the ghosts that are here all day, not only at midnight, it is quite interesting how many people are suffering under ghosts or are under the terror of ghosts or are bothered by ghosts, by poltergeists and all these things. And naturally, we must help them. It's a practice case just like something else, just like a disease. A disease is also a ghost. It doesn't exist. It is also something that pretends to be and says, I have a form, and that form is a very living form. That disease is something that grows and shows itself as a wound or an inflammation or a thing like that. It says also matter can have a spirit in itself and show itself forth. It's a ghostly thing too. So there is no big difference between ghosts and people. Both are ghosts. And therefore, just as people have to be freed from their beliefs, the ghosts have to be freed from their beliefs. It's usually a dissatisfied state of consciousness that cannot free itself from a certain situation that may have bothered that person times ago and cannot free itself to the point of finding true satisfaction in soul, and therefore the moment one sees that they have always found their true satisfaction in their true spiritual identity, they usually disappear and come no more. But up to then, they keep on to their sense testimony, and therefore they appear to the receptive thought through the sense testimony as noise or as seeing them in a form or as like cold and hot, like a wind. Usually they say it's like if a wind will pass through the room when they pass through the room, so that they can be sensed through the five physical senses. Yes. Oh, you wouldn't have believed I believe in ghosts. Huh?
No.
I do. You see? Because just as you believe in ghosts, everything that is a mixture of spirit and matter is a ghost. Yes. So, see, when you are in the practice, you have to deal with those cases often and often. You will be surprised how many people suffer under it. It's also our imagination that we believe that you sit there as a body with a spirit in it. That's a very nice imagination. Huh? But it's still imagination. That's why she started out with mind. Huh? That it is a mortal belief, a mortal imagination. Yes? Everything is mental. Everything is mental. So we have to see that it is a wrong mentality. Mind. In spirit, that these imaginations or wrong beliefs are not realities, and at the point of spirit, that they are not entities and identities, therefore they can vanish, and as principle, that they are not giving us a scientific testimony of their being, that the scientific testimony is the sensuous unreal, that you would say, and therefore, through science, we really can help those ghosts. We can help the people suffering under ghosts, but we can also free a ghost from being a ghost. And they are very happy to find their solution. Just as somebody who is sick is very happy and very receptive to be healed. And so a ghost who has not found its rest and its peace is certainly very happy to be relieved through scientific understanding. So, here we have whatever seems real to the material sense is unreal in divine science. And therefore, only science from the interpretation of principle can deal with these beliefs. In the subtones of life, we see that the stronger evidence of truth is thus the way, the life, that destroys error. So that we feel that a Christian should have the stronger evidence of truth, she says, because Christ is the way. Therefore, we must see, we must go that way which Mrs. Eddy has established up to this subtone principle, that we must go the way and see that any combination of life and matter is a belief, mind, that it is not a reality of being, not something that exists, and that it is not something at the point of soul that has an unchanging identity or an identity of its own. It is something that can vanish away like clouds before the sunshine can, or the, you say it differently, not the clouds before sunshine, the, what is the dunst? The mist. Yeah. Like the mist disappears when the sun shines. So that we go out from a scientific knowledge and not from the sensuous knowledge, and that, she says, is the way of life. That's your basis of life. Go that way. So that in truth, we have that the spectral is being given up at all points and will continue to disappear until it is finally forgotten. Always when you come to truth, you get the sense that if you go the way of life, that then truth, that is the truth about it, and that truth will bring the very opposite to the point of disappearance. She says, this age has not wholly outlived the sense of ghostly beliefs. We aren't so enlightened that we are no more believing in ghosts. Time has not yet reached eternity. Quite terrific. That the present age has not outlived the ghost, the ghostly beliefs. Time has not yet reached eternity. Does it mean that time will once be eternal? When we say that time has not reached eternity, or does it mean that time will disappear when eternity appears? Well, what does it mean when Mrs. Eddy talks about the Christian Science Manual, that the sacrilegious moth of time is really eating up the manual, and that eternity awaits the Christian Science Manual? Does it mean that the manual that is timely becomes eternal? Or does it mean that the manual disappears when we have a better sense of eternality? Very, very clear. Yes, so that we must see that we must see that spiritual reality is the only reality.